Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of this podcast. My mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show some love back by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a rating and review wherever you're listening right now. I can serve more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to new subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with Nancy Alvarez, and we explore a number of interesting topics like how to get out of the routine of observations, the extraordinary things kids produce in Nancy's STEAM labs, and Nancy's wake-up call for unplugging from work. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast, and I hope you enjoy the show. Before we jump into the episode, let's take a few moments to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving students' soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hey, y'all. This is Gretchen from Always a Lessons Empowering Educators podcast. I'm a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts, but make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hey there, better leaders. Today is really a very exciting day for me. It's not every podcast episode that I get to interview A, one of my friends, and B, one of the amazing members of the mastermind. So today, both of those things are happening, and I'm super excited to record this show with Nancy Alvarez. And Nancy is the principal of Salina Primary School in Salina, Texas. She's a bachelor's in early childhood ed and a master's in educational leadership. She has 20 years of experience in early childhood education, and she has taught in both private and public schools. She also has experience with homeschooling, curriculum design, professional development, instructional coaching, bilingual education, and tech integration. Her passion and specialty are early childhood education. She has presented at both state and national conferences on the following topics: STEAM in the early years, QR and AR integration, parental involvement, building a powerful PLN, learning spaces, and future-ready leaders. On Twitter, she co-moderates a weekly early childhood chat called ECE Chat and blogs regularly at teachingwithnancy.com. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hello, welcome. I'm so excited.
Yeah, this is great. So excited to record this episode with you. And let's start with your perfect day at work. And how would you describe that?
Well, Daniel, let me back up a little bit, because when people hear this, they're going to be like, Salina, it's not Salina. It sounds like it should be pronounced Salina, but it's actually called Salina.
So oh, that's why you're laughing.
Salina ISD. So, and that is a very common thing. I should have told you that from the beginning. So a perfect day at work. A perfect day at work for me is when I am not in my office, when I am able to be in the building and engage in the classrooms with students and staff. That is the perfect day for me.
Gotcha. And, you know, a lot of principals, they know about the mobile office and that kind of thing, but what helps you do that, right? What is it that helps you get out of your office, get into classrooms, and really engage with teachers and students?
So I've always made like a master schedule where I put everybody's schedule on one sheet of paper so that I want to see like language arts. I can say, okay, this week I'm going to visit during language arts times, and I can look at everyone's language arts block. And that way I can make sure that I get in there at that time, or for math or for whatever. But yes, the mobile office, I just put one together about, I want to say it's been like 2 weeks now. And that is so helpful because I can put everything, my calendar, I even got a stapler on there. I got everything. It's like, it truly is a mobile office. And I can wheel it out into the hallway and I can leave it in the hall and then go in and pop in a classroom, come back out. I see kids in the hallway, they high five me. It just really helps me just be present.
Love it. And what I'm hearing too, I want to point out for the listeners is that, you know, you sort of batch, I guess your observations or when you're out there in the halls and you're looking at your master schedule, the blocks of time that people are planning and meeting. And that's just a smart way of doing it. You know, instead of, and it's not wrong, right? To just see where the day takes you. But I really enjoy planning. I think it's important to plan your day with intentionality. And if you see that all these classes are at a specific time, then you can hit a lot more and definitely engage in a more meaningful and, like I said, an intentional way. So I appreciate that you do that.
Absolutely. It surely does make it more intentional because what I was realizing before I did that a few years ago was that I would pop in during the same part of the day. It's just kind of, you get into a routine, like a habit. And so I was missing certain pieces and I was like, man, every time I go, they're always doing that piece. And so I started to do that and that was really helpful. Yes, definitely time blocking, putting it on the calendar. I hear you and also guests that you have had on the show before talk about time blocking. And it's something that I haven't mastered, but I am certainly working on.
Always a process. And I appreciate you giving a shout out back to the podcast and time blocking. Well, Nancy, what topic are you fascinated by in education or leadership right now?
For the last few years, my focus has really been on STEM and STEAM in the early years. That's something that I'm really passionate about. Technology integration is also another one, how to do it in a meaningful way so that we want, of course, our students to be creators and not consumers. You hear that a lot, but when you think about the little ones, sometimes people are not sure how to do that in a meaningful way with younger students.
And can you tell me a little bit more about the why there, right? And in terms of STEAM in early childhood ed, but also this idea of creator versus consumer, why does that even matter?
Well, the whole STEAM thing and the STEM, you know, some people call it STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, math. I always like to include the arts in there too, especially with the little ones. A few years ago, I was on a Twitter chat and I kept seeing the phrase makerspace. At that time, I didn't even know what a makerspace was, but I knew that I wanted one for our school. And I was an assistant principal. So I wasn't the one that really was making all the decisions at that point, even though I had influence. So what I did is I reached out to a Twitter friend, Ryan Steele, who's a principal in Plano, and I set up a field trip and we went to go see his makerspace. And I took my principal and she just loved it. And so that was kind of how we got started with our STEM, our STEAM in our school. It morphed from a makerspace into a STEAM lab. And just really important for our young students, especially the population that we serve at risk, you know, lots of low socioeconomic and very diverse. And those opportunities are not offered at this level, mm-hmm. Unless it's like an after school program or you see it in middle school starting to be offered, but it's too late by then. We've got to build those early skills and that confidence and interest since the younger years.
Yeah, I agree. You know, giving them the early exposure and absolutely giving them experiences to engage in what really, you know, is the future of jobs and opportunities that our kids have. We have to do that at an early age or they're going to be missing out because their peers are getting that for sure.
Yes, especially our girls. I have two sons and I have a daughter and my daughter, she's 15 already. But if you look at the research and what it shows us is that predominantly all the STEM jobs are still dominated by white men. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, these are not only the jobs of the future, these are the jobs right now. And so what does that mean for our girls? And also the our people, you know, our students of color, they also are minorities. They also are not going into these careers. And so for them, it's even more critical that we start providing these opportunities for them to develop those skills early on.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you talk a little bit about that STEAM lab you visited at your colleague's school? or what a makerspace might look like. You know, I want to believe that the majority of listeners have an idea of what we're talking about. But for some people, this might be their first time listening to the podcast. This might be the first time they've ever heard of a STEAM lab or a makerspace. So can you break that down a bit for us?
Okay, so a makerspace and a STEAM lab are not the same. So I'm glad that you asked that. Yes, a lot of people actually don't know what a STEAM lab is. And when I present, I show lots of pictures and I kind of explain how ours started off as a makerspace, which is a space that you'll see in many schools in their library where the kids are able to tinker and build things. But a STEAM lab is a little different. So what it does is that you integrate math, science, technology, all these things together. And the way we do it is it's a room that's dedicated, kind of like specials. You know how you go to art class, you go to music class, yeah. You go to PE. Well, our kids get to go to the STEAM lab, to their STEAM class. And I actually have somebody who runs it this year, which is new, because before I would create the lessons with a group and then teachers would turn those around at that time. But these lessons are what they are. They're challenges for students to go through. And they all are aligned to I'm in Texas. So it's the TEKSA, Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills. We make sure that they align and they're purposely designed to stretch kids' thinking. It forces them to collaborate, to communicate, to problem solve. It's just really, really neat. You've got to see it in action for sure.
I would love to. Maybe if I end up in the Dallas area, I could come visit one of those classes and check it out.
Yes. It's really neat to see the kids, how they just blow your mind. Every time you give them a challenge, you think of how they might solve something. Everything is very open-ended. So there's not just one, even though there is a goal, for the challenge, the way they can reach the goal can look many different ways. And so they really surprise you in the way that they come up with the craziest things. They're awesome. It's just, they just blow your mind, these little kids.
Oh yeah, they definitely will do things that are out of the ordinary and extraordinary and surprising. And that's the best part about,
yes.
Really, I think as a school leader, for my teachers, for my students, for everybody, I want to clearly identify boundaries and sort of like the rules. But then I want everybody to play within that boundary, you know, within the playground and come up with their brilliance.
Yes.
But make sure, you know, they meet the expectations. And that's the neatest thing. So if you provide the resources, you remove the challenges and let people be people, awesome stuff always happens.
Yes. Let me give you an example. As you're saying that, I'm thinking about one challenge we gave them. They were, it's a kindergarten class. And the challenge was they had to code these little robots. They're called B-bots. They're called B-bots because they look like a bee, but they're a robot. So it's called a B-bot. And so they had to code these little bees and make them draw shapes because we were talking about 2D and 3D shapes. And so they had to code it so that it would draw a shape. So I gave them tape, a marker, I gave them a rubber band and just butcher paper. That was it. And so the challenge was they had to somehow either using the tape or using the rubber band, they had to attach the marker somehow. And then they had to code it so that when the little robot moved, it would draw the shape. And so there were a lot of lessons learned there. First of all, like if they didn't put the rubber band, they figured out that the tape was better than the rubber band. They figured that out. You should see the pictures, all the tape they use. And then they figured out that if they didn't put the marker just right, it would code it. And if it wasn't touching the paper, guess what? It didn't draw anything. So they had to figure that out. And then as I'm working with different groups, I turn around. There was this one group. I looked at their robot. They had attached like 5 markers onto it. Like I couldn't have planned that. That was just something that they did and they figured out. And so it's just neat. You know, a lot of trial and error, you know, there's just so much learning that goes on.
Nancy, when you think of school leadership, what are the top skills that you consider as the foundational skills people need to be successful?
Definitely a growth mindset. I think that your attitude about learning needs to be, you know, learning is a, like professional development needs to be a lifestyle if you're a campus leader. I think also it's really important to have, you know, organizational skills, and then absolutely must have really good listening and communication skills.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, what was that? No, I'm just joking. in terms of unplugging from work, you know, I talk a lot about, I guess, harmony or the rhythm of your day. Jessica Cabine in the Mastermind, she wrote Balance Like a Pirate. So a little shout out to her and the Johnsons, her co-authors, Jessica and Sarah, that wrote that book with her. But in terms of unplugging from work, how do you do it? Or if it's been a struggle, why, you know, what are the challenges there?
Yes, I absolutely unplug from work. I think that's really, really important. If you don't, it's bad, especially last year, about a year ago, I had my brother who was 53 died of a heart attack unexpectedly. And that was really a wake up call for me, because I'm thinking to myself, okay, here I have a high stress job. I don't eat right and I don't exercise. You know, your body, you just can't abuse your body that way and expect that. You know, nothing, there's no consequence. So I do now to unplug, what I do is I run about 3 to 4 times a week and just, you know, listen to either a book or a podcast or music as I'm running. And that has been really, really awesome. Just doing that, creating that habit, that lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. And I offer you condolences about your loss there. And it sounds like you've made some positive changes as a result in terms of diet and exercise. Was I hearing that correctly?
Oh, definitely. You have to, it's not just the exercise and diet, but just, you know, it's just a combination of, you know, making sure that you de-stress and don't work all the time, because that's easy in this position.
It is easy. So is there something that you tell yourself or outside of the diet and exercise, like something that you do to allow yourself to stop, you know, from the work? Cause you're right. I mean, the work is always there, you know, and what I tell school leaders is like, listen, you know, maybe some people at your job will be at your funeral, you know, hopefully your family will, but that's what you got. You got to put it in perspective. Cause at the end of the day, you know, like what is your life all about? Who are the people you most love? And I'm not saying cut back on work and do a bad job. I'm saying have your priorities straight. And if you give everything to your job, right, but then it costs you everything, like was that worth it? You know, so I just want to put a little perspective on that. But I'm just, yeah, curious if there's any things that you tell yourself or things you think about so that you're able to leave the work at work, so to speak.
I think I'm very reflective. And so I always try to reflect about how I am feeling. And I recently heard a book while I was running. It's called Eat, Move, Sleep. And don't ask me who the author is, because I can't remember. I think it's Tom Rath. I can't remember exactly, but it's called Eat, Move, Sleep. And there's just so much research about how good exercise is. It just resets your brain. It just, for me, that has been huge.
Yeah. And it's the running. Is it a certain amount of mileage, or you said a 20 minute run, I think?
I try to do, I'm working on being able to completely run 3 miles. That's where I am right now. So, nice. And working on being a hashtag fit leader.
You're doing it. I try to tag you when I put those on there. I try to remember to do that.
I'm working on it.
Hey, everybody starts in different places. And so I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage all the listeners. Because me, I'm on my own fitness journey too. Like I'm starting to really get happy with some of the results I'm seeing, but it didn't start that way, right? And when I got serious about fitness in terms of, let's say, CrossFit and the different types of lifts and the workouts of the day, I really sucked. And today, you know, there's a lot of workouts of the day I still suck at. And that's because I just have to get better. But the thing is that the more time I put in, the easier the lifts or the different movements have gotten. And that's been about a 2-year journey. You know, I've trained for 3 marathons. I've completed 2. There's, you know, you got Adam Welcome and Matthew Arend, who's been on this show. You know, they're just like killer runners. And I wish I could be as fast as them. Or Demetrius Ball, he's in the Mastermind too.
Hey, I always look at them for inspiration too.
Totally, yeah. But we all start somewhere. And so I just want to encourage everybody listening, like, just get out there, start it.
Yes.
Follow the Fit Leader hashtag. Follow somebody like Nancy or everybody we just mentioned, plus Ryan Jackson, and you'll get encouraged. You'll be inspired. There's also something, now I haven't done this, but I've read about it, called from the couch to 5K, I think.
And so, yes, it's an app. Yes.
Okay. So you know, and I haven't had experience with it, but the point is like everybody starts somewhere and you can get from literally, you know, eating Cheetos and chocolate and whatever from sitting on the couch and just Netflix binging all the time to running a 5K in a certain amount of time because you follow a training program, you get in that type of
One day I will run a marathon.
Oh, whoa. You want to run 3 miles straight? And are you seriously going to try a marathon?
One day, it's on my list of things to do little by little. One day, that's my end goal.
That'd be so sweet. I'll be there cheering you on if you.
Okay.
Cool. Well, hey, can you tell us, you know, I love hearing about leadership mistakes and the lessons that you've learned. So what do you consider your worst single leadership mistake? And what did you learn from the experience?
Well, I have a list, but I'll just share one. I think sometimes I can be really task-oriented and very focused and driven on certain things sometimes. And I think putting paper before people, definitely, that's a mistake. And I remember once I heard, I think it was Ryan Jackson, and he said, you know, people before paperwork, and that just hit me in the gut. That is very true. And so now I'm very, very conscientious when people come to me or come in my office or I, you know, run into them in the hall, just making sure I stop what I'm doing because the most important thing is that person that's in front of me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Derek Sivers has a really great quote. What's ordinary to you is extraordinary to me. What would you consider, Nancy, your superpower?
Well, you know, I just recently read a book called The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. And he says something very similar to what you just said. He says, ordinary things consistently done produce extraordinary results. And I don't want to get too preachy or anything, but to be 100% honest, my superpower, it comes from my relationship with God. So that's where it comes from.
Yeah, that's something, you know, people have heard a bit about my faith journey, and spirituality is really important to me. And, you know, we're not here right now to try to convince you that one way is right or another, nothing like that. But
no, I know.
Yeah.
But
I think that to have some sort of connection with a higher power, even Alcohol Anonymous, you know, they say something about understanding that there's a higher power that they connect to help them through their challenges, right? And so, yeah, figure out what that is for you, listener. But I think too, you know, in some respects, you know, people may disagree with me or whatever, but I believe we're spiritual beings too, you know, and we have a longing in our heart to be connected to that higher power. And again, whatever way that looks for the listener, I think you should explore that. And I think it makes you a well-rounded person, you know, because there's the spiritual component of our lives. We have obviously, you know, the physical aspects, the intellectual things that we do, and they all add value to us. And so just, you know, explore. And maybe that's starting with a book like Search Inside Yourself, which we read in the Mastermind, which talked about meditation and mindfulness. You know, you could read, obviously, the Bible, the Torah. You know, there's all sorts of stuff out there. So I'll let that be for the listener to decide. But I think it's something that at least to explore for sure.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, Tony Robbins, Nancy's famous for saying that quality questions create a quality life and that successful people ask better questions and as a result, they get better answers. So what is one question you should have asked more as a novice leader?
A lot of whys, and definitely, how do you know this is the most effective way?
Hmm.
I think that's a, you know, always going back to, are we doing this because we've always done it this way, or are we doing this way because this is indeed the best way?
Absolutely. You know, because a lot of times too, we just have a feeling that this is working or whatever, but what's the evidence, right? What's the data? What are the things that you're seeing, teacher, in this classroom during this lesson that proves the lesson that you designed is an expert lesson that is being taught in an effective way? And just by asking that question, it's really interesting because at first, if you're the first principal or school leader to ask that question, sometimes working with a teacher that they might look like a deer in headlights. Like, what? What do you mean? Like, how do I know? This is the way I was trained, or this is the way we always have done it. But when you start asking, what is your evidence that this is working? It changes the conversation, which I'm sure you can relate to.
Yeah. Well, lately when people come to me and tell me, you know, about a student they may have that might be struggling, whether it be academics or behaviors, one of the things I ask is this something that is a new problem that we need to create a new strategy for? Or is this something that we're familiar with and we know what to do? And a lot of times it's, this is not new. We know what we need to do. We just kind of need that reminder.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's pause here for just a second for a message from our sponsors. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. All right, and we're back with Nancy Alvarez, one of my friends and mastermind members from Salina, Texas, not Salina.
You got it.
You know, hopefully I'm a quick learner there. We've been talking STEAM, we've been talking fitness, the importance of spirituality, and this has been a great episode so far. Nancy, one thing I want to ask you about is concerning leadership or education. What have you changed your mind about in the past few years?
I think something I've changed my mind about is the importance of social emotional learning and development. I feel like that's definitely something that is missing in preparation programs. We have got to be more intentional with that part, developing future campus leaders and classroom teachers on how to support the social emotional needs of our students.
And is that just because, you know, not necessarily like a lack of training in undergrad or graduate, or just, yeah, why? What was the flip? Was there a moment when you said, oh man, this is it?
It's just, I think it's just one of those things that we're not really intentional about. And I just working with a population that I've worked with and just listening, because I work with early childhood students, so, you know, below third grade. And then just as I'm listening, because I'm friends with people, you know, principals from all over the country, and I listen to the types of things that they're facing in their schools with their kids, I realize that we have got to be more intentional in the way we are supporting the social emotional needs of our students, pre-K all the way to 12th grade, like even in middle school, high school. There's just such a, I feel like so many students just like in crisis. Mm. And I feel like sometimes we're just not, as schools, we're just not prepared in the way that we should be in order to help our young people.
And Nancy, what's one book, video, tool, or resource that's really impacted your leadership, productivity, or quality of life in the past year?
Okay, so am I supposed to say Better Leaders, Better Schools?
No, I mean, but I'll send a check to your address.
I'm kidding. I really do. I have a 20-minute drive. I live 20 minutes away from the school where I work. And so just a podcast. I love listening, of course, to Better Leaders, Better Schools, because you always have amazing guests and I always learn something and a nugget that I'm able to apply. So that's definitely one. I also started listening to a podcast, The One Thing podcast.
Yeah.
It's kind of new, but there's some really good, podcast episodes out there. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I like about like being in the mastermind is that not everything that we read is necessarily about schools and school leadership and school focus. It's just about, there are things that books and things that we read and that we are able to learn that have nothing to do with school, but they're so applicable. And so I think being part of a mastermind is definitely something that has helped me grow as a leader and as a person.
Yeah. And, you know, you've been working with us for quite a while in the mastermind, which I truly appreciate. But what would you think is your, I guess, top book that we've read that's from outside the industry, but it really has made a big impact in what you do?
Wow. I think I really enjoyed happiness. Tell me what it was. The Happiness Advantage.
You got it. Yeah. By Sean.
That one. Yes. That book was very, very good. It, it just really shows, there's just so much evidence. It was very, I know we're not being preachy and biblical, but it's very, actually very biblical, even though I didn't mention the Bible in there, about how important it is, your attitude and your, and the way you think and how it affects your, the outcomes of the choices that you make. It was just really neat to kind of have read that and see the research and how it's so important to have, you know, positive outlook and a good, positive mindset, and the people that you surround yourself with, that is really important.
Yeah. I mean, even just I guess to look at it from a secular point of view, think about it like this. You have an experience in front of you, and whatever, you know, you could fill in the blank, whatever experience that is, but how you approach it, if you say, I have to do this versus I get to do this, or I have the privilege to do this, just the way your face looks, the way your heart feels, you know, the way maybe your hands, are they clenched in one way or are they relaxed and free in another? What we put in our minds and our hearts is really, really important. And so, yeah, I think the Happiness Advantage talks a bit about that. To really break it down super fast for the listener, and Nancy, I don't know if you remember or not, but it's, you know, think about your interactions with students and teachers. And there's a ratio, I think it's 5 to 1, that you need 5 positives to every 1 critical interaction that you have, because that 1 critical brings down those 5 positives, things that you built people up with. The stakes are even higher at home. So if you are lucky enough to have somebody just love and adore you like crazy at home, whoever that partner is, it actually goes up to 7 to 1, I want to say. So either way, it's really important. Are you acknowledging people? Are you sort of like, I guess, dipping them in honey with your words, so to speak? But just being very empowering, uplifting, positive, people respond to that. And of course, you need to correct and criticize at times, but just understand if that's all you do, right? And as leaders, we get to where we're at because we're great at solving problems. And just to, now I'm getting on a tangent, but we read Think Fast and Slow. And the problem with leaders, you've gotten to your position because you fix problems. That becomes a problem because then all you see are problems and you stop seeing the good stuff that's all around you. So it's really, really important to point out that good stuff. And thank you, Nancy, yes, for bringing that up.
Yeah, it's really, as you're saying that, it's making me think of some of the things I do. Sometimes, you know, I might just pop in a classroom and tell the teacher, hey, has anyone told you you're awesome today?
Right.
You know, it's just those little things.
Yeah. And how do they respond when you do that,
Nancy? They just smile and giggle. And I'm like, because you're awesome, you know? So it's just, you know, they're working so hard and no one's, you know, we just need to tell people more often that we appreciate them and what an amazing job they're doing.
Right. And you got to figure out, listener, you know, what the authentic way of doing that looks like for you. Because if you're going from cold and never encouraging to like, hey, guess what? You're awesome. It's not going to land very well, but maybe you start off by writing a nice little note. Who knows? But the point is, you know, focus on that positivity and optimism first. Nancy, what message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just one day?
Oh my goodness. It would say, you were made to be awesome. That, or it would say, amazing learning is happening here, or something like that.
Something like that. I love
yes.
it. And you know, this question was coming, so we're wrapping up the podcast here, but you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. So how would you build your dream school, and what would be your top 3 priorities?
Oh my goodness, my dream school. So it would definitely have a lot of open spaces. And you said there was no limitation. So that means money is not a limit. So
that's right.
I would probably have very small teacher to student ratio, maybe like a 1 to 12 or 1 to 10 or something like that. I think the 3 top priorities would be make sure that it is student focused and make it student driven. And provide students with real world experiences.
Perfect. And Nancy, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. You have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, you can get a hold of me on Twitter. I am TechWNancy. And you can also reach out to me. I blog at teachingwithnancy.com. And those are probably the top 2 ways that you can reach out to me.
Great. And we will link up Eat, Move, Sleep, The Happiness Advantage, Nancy's Twitter, and her blog all in the podcast. Nancy, thanks for being a great guest on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast.
Thank you, Daniel. It was awesome.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof, it encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.